Let's pray. Father, as we learn today your word, we just give thanks to you. For Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. You know, it's Trinity Sunday. It just seems like it's one of those more interesting, if not complicated, subjects to preach on, mostly because it's structured around the Godhead and it centers on theology and, you know, what can we say? The Holy Trinity, the three in one, right? The Godhead, how they are perfectly united and co-eternal, co-equal. And though they are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are yet the one God. And sermons are inundated with theology, which informs us of the nature and attributes of God. In fact, I even looked on YouTube to see how people treated the Trinity service, you know, and it's just filled with theology, which is great. It's great to have theology. But, you know, then it often sort of drifts off and dabbles in more philosophy, such as the substance of God and the interaction among Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And to me, this kind of message is really good for academia, but I wonder if it's helpful for preaching. So perhaps there's a different way to understand the Godhead without all the theological or philosophical gymnastics. Rather than trying to understand the mystery of the Godhead, which would more likely confound us even more, I would like to focus on the activity of God. We ask not what is God, but what is God doing? You see, God has a purpose, a mission, and his mission preceded reality. Let me say that again. God has a mission and a purpose, and his mission preceded reality. That means the existence of things. To assume otherwise would mean that God was surprised by the condition in which we find ourselves. Now, God has always been in perfect community with himself, the Godhead. Yet God created us and a world for us to live. Creation is God's outpouring of love and goodness, in that he made us in his image, and he created us to be in life-giving fellowship. Sin, however, has infected our relationship with God and with each other and with creation. God's mission, therefore, is ongoing until it reaches finality. And so there is a mission and a purpose to God. And through his creation, there is a mission and purpose for you and me. And I hope we can explore this a little bit by opening our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. And as you're doing that, if you're wondering where is the book of Isaiah, go about halfway of your Bible and open it. You'll probably hit Isaiah. Chapter 6, verse 1. So what do we have here? The first thing we notice is that a king is dead. And Isaiah has this vision, right? What does he see? He says he sees the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up. To give you some context about this vision and about what we're about to talk about, God's people had followed Uzziah for quite some time. He was actually a very young king. He was 16 when he became king. And he was a prosperous king. But Uzziah became complacent, turning away from God, as did God's people. And in chapter 5, Isaiah gives this song about a vineyard that was meant to yield fine grapes. He's talking about God's people, but rather the grapes became wild. This analogy here is to describe the obstinance of God's people, and God's wrath became kindled against them, and judgment was coming. Isaiah says he sees a king of a different kind, one whose train fills the temple. Can you imagine the vision? It surely must have been an amazing thing to see. And right off the bat, you might get a sense of what the mission is all about. I think the first thing to understand here is that God is sitting on his throne. Let's not overlook this. King Uzziah is no longer on the throne. He is dead. Like other kings or emperors or presidents, you name it, they will all one day be removed from their throne, from their position of power and authority. They will all pass away. God, however, cannot be usurped by any power or dethroned in any way. That's why it's important that Isaiah said, I see him on a throne high and lifted up. God's purposes cannot be stopped or defeated. If we turn to political leaders or other persons of influence, they will be dethroned. They are temporal. They cannot sustain power nor maintain their influence. Our trust is not in a system, a man or a woman, a politic or an ideal. Our trust is in the Lord. The vision then moves to this sixth-winged creature. They're called seraphim. They're one of the most high angelic beings that serve God. And in the Hebrew, that name seraphim means that they're called burned or flaming ones. So they look like they're on fire. And they have six set of wings. One set of wings covering their face, the other set of wings covering their feet, and the other give them flight. So these winged, sinless creatures are covering themselves before the throne of God. They are humbly and totally at service and devoted to the service of God. And they say to each other, what do they say? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. God's glory is not only awesome, but it is holy. He is separate. He is far from like us. You know, sometimes I think that when people talk in the context of good and evil, God and Satan, they think that they're two opposing equal forces, that it's good against evil. And there's this tension between the two. That is absolutely false. God is holy and separate from all his creation, even Satan. And so God is highly revered by these creatures. But these creatures tell us something beyond God's holiness. They tell us that the whole earth is full of his glory. What this should inform us is that God is not only out there, but he is right here. The whole earth is full of his glory. He is here. He is active. He is on the move. God is on mission. He is present with us. The glory of God is here among us. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. His mission is still ongoing. He is the already, but not yet. God's glory fills all the earth. In God's goodness and in his love and his perfect grace, the angelic being tells us God's glory spills over and it fills creation. God's love is unstoppable. It does not waver. And it's eternal. God's glory is filled not just in heaven, but in all the earth from his outpouring love. The Holy Trinity spoke the world and humans into existence. Let glory fill the earth. We are agents of that glory. Did you know that? We are agents of that glory. Why? Because we are the image bearers of the Lord to reflect the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What was said in the beginning? Let us make man in our image. You were meant to glorify God. Yet what did God's people do? Isaiah says they were self-centered. They were selfish, greedy, and corrupt. Is our modern world any different? God's glory is replaced with statues, monuments of our achievements, exaggerated images of ourselves, the worship of the creature, not the creator, power structures that oppress, that cause injustice, that create weapons of mass destructions. The idols of politics tell us how to bow before them. Cultural trends say, blend in. Souls are polluted, enlightening us to dance to the liturgy of individualism and self-autonomy. This is the lie told by the serpent in the very beginning of time, and it is the perpetual lie. Your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God. Before the fall, all that the first family knew was good. Did you know that? They did not know evil. But evil found its host in them when they desired that fruit on that vine. And evil took its host. Yet God is awesome and holy, and he is on mission. But listen to what Isaiah says. Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah realized that when it came to God doing something to those people out there, judgment, right? Doing the rotten things that they are doing, Isaiah realized, I'm one of them. Woe is me, for I am lost and I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm no better. And we read of this odd scene where one of these seraphim, these flying around, and now I don't know about you. If I saw some creature with six wings buzzing around, have you ever been to Georgia? Yeah, I would be like trying to swat that thing down out of the sky, right? That would be crazy, seeing one of those things flying around me. But this being comes down and it goes to this altar and it picks up this burning coal with tongs. Now you would think, why would a flaming being have to hold a flaming coal with tongs? Sounds weird, right? I'm going to tell you why it's weird. The coal which came from the altar is not necessarily on fire or it's burning. That coal is burning. That coal it's holy. It came from the altar of sacrifice. It's a representation of God's sacrifice, forgiveness, and atonement. And rather than burning the lips of Isaiah to harm or punish him, it heals him. It heals him. The seraphim says, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. What does that sound like to you? Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. That sounds like Messiah. It sounds like Jesus. So piecing this all together, God's glory, his presence fills the earth. God delights in us and wants to make earth an extension of his throne room by awakening us to our deadness in him. It is God who delights to bring glory to our world by coming into our life and to come near. And the way God accomplished this was in the form of man, our Lord Jesus. And last week we celebrated the Holy Spirit coming in power to strengthen, encourage, to heal and comfort and exhort us, to cleanse us and to guide us in all of God's truth. God's mission, the Holy Trinity, working together to transform our lives, to save us from destruction, so that we will once again belong to him and enjoy him forever. When God created us, it was from the goodness of his heart. And when we had sinned and rebelled, God is still saying, my heart yearns for you. The burning coal that healed Isaiah is the work of the cross of Christ, who took upon himself the wrath of God to be the sacrifice for us so that we may be healed. Healed. Isaiah finally realized and was awakened to his own sin that he too needed saving. The Holy Spirit that works in us today breathes life into our spirit and animates our souls to do the work for which God has set us out to do. You know, I find that the closer I am to God, as if I can get close, right? The more I see myself for who I am. Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm lost. And I recognize that I'm no better or more worthier or more holier than anyone else. I need a Savior. You need a Savior. When we are touched by the atoning love of Jesus, we give thanks to the Father who sent us his Son. And equally, we are reminded of our place in God, that the Holy Spirit affirms our love of God in him. Does the mission end with me or with you once you're in the grip of God's grace? Did the mission end with Isaiah when the vision concluded? No. The next line, and even though it's not part of our reading, I think it's important to tell you this. The Holy Trinity speaks. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Us. Who's he speaking to? That holy community. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah said, here I am. I will go. Here I am. Send me. As much as we might want to know the mystery behind the Trinity, and it's good to have theology, it is far better, hear me, it is far better to be a disciple of Jesus and know the activity of God. It is far better to be a disciple of Jesus and know the activity of God, what the one holy God is doing, that in turn helps us to discover the heart of God. And by knowing the heart of God, we cannot help but share this love with our family, our friends, and our neighbors. Isaiah may not have understood Trinity, but he knew of God's activity, what God was up to, because he said, here I am, send me. We are thankful to the Father who loves us, the Son who has redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit who affirms and guides us. For our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is holy and awesome. He loves us so much, he will not stop until the mission is completed. How do you respond to whom shall I send and who will go for us? How do you respond to that? My prayer for you, my friends, is that you will say, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. You want the church to grow? Then answer the question. Here I am, Lord, send me. Send me. God is on mission. He is on the move. He is active. He is here. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Let's pray. Oh, holy and gracious God, we thank you for who you are and what you are doing. But equally are thankful for what you do. You're a God on mission. Your love does not stop. And will not stop until all is completed, according to your will. Help us now, Lord, to speak your truth into this dying world. To speak as Isaiah did and said, Here I am, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Your grace is so sufficient for us. We thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. Amen.